This is the second chapter of part 6, prose forms. Name of the chapter, the novel. A novel is an extended fictional prose narrative. There is no specific established length for it because its length varies greatly, and there has been much debate on how long a novel is or should be. J. A. Cuddon holds that in contemporary practice, a novel will be between 60-70,000 words and say 200,000. According to Collier's Encyclopedia, the novel should contain at least 50,000 words, whereas in Tillyard's view, it should have 20,000 words. But there is no doubt that the novel should be normally at least long enough to justify its publication in an independent volume. Regarding the definition of the novel, no two critics agree with each other. Hudson expresses his view, "Anyone can write a novel who has pens, ink, and paper at command, and a certain amount of leisure and patience." F. Marion Crawford describes the novel as a pocket theater. Fielding calls it as a comic epic in prose. Clara Reeve defines the novel as a picture of real life and manners and of times in which it is written. Philip Gudela remarks, "It would almost appear as though any man with anything to say on any theme said it is fiction." Professor Warren says, "The novel is a fictitious narrative which contains a plot. The novel is known for its openness and flexibility, for it does not observe any obligatory structure, style, or subject matter, and has taken so many shapes. That is why varied definitions have been formed by different scholars. It is extremely difficult to give a precise formal definition of the novel." Despite all such differences, the novel claims to be a work of art as it deals with human action, human judgment, and human truth. The author attempts to represent life and gives his vision of life with the purpose of giving pleasure to the reader. The novel has its own structure, plot, characters, dialogue, time and place of action, style, and philosophy of life. These are main constituents contributing to the composition of a novel. Plot. The materials that form the plot of the novel should deal with different aspects of life and classes of incidents. The wrap and woof of man's life is woven by his passions, conflicts, problems, struggles, and fortunes. This is a genuine meaning of life that appeals to common humanity. The novelist should have a sound, faithful, realistic, intimate, and comprehensive knowledge of his subject matter. He should present an interpretation of life with universal applicability. His knowledge towards life should be characterized by authenticity, but his approach to any aspect of life is narrow and limited. It is better for him not to choose it. The knowledge of life can be obtained in various ways through direct personal experience, through books, and through conversations with others. A writer of Creative Genius and leavens the materials by his powerful realistic imagination and presents them with amusement and fidelity. There are two types of plots, loose and organic. The loose plot is also called episodic plot, in which different separate incidents have no logical connection. The unity of action is not observed, but the unity of characters is always present, which is the pivotal force to combine all the incidents. The loose plot is generally found in the picturesque novels such as Joseph Andrews, Moll Flanders, Robinson Crusoe. The picturesque hero encounters a number of adventures and exploits which hamper to form a shape and a general design of the plot. The organic plot, on the other hand, has unity, compactness, logical development, and coherence. The actions and incidents are not episodic, but woven well knit. Another aspect of the unity of plot is that it may be simple or compound. In simple plot, there is only one story, whereas in compound plot, there may be two or more stories which should be harmoniously fused into a single whole. The plot may be tragic, comic, satiric, or romantic. Now the question arises how the novelist should narrate the story. He can adopt one of the three methods. Number one, the direct or epic. Number two, the autobiographical. And number three, the documentary. The direct method is the most common one, in which the novelist takes the role of an historian narrating from the outside. In the second, he writes in the first person and identifies himself with the hero or any other important persona, and in the third, the action is revealed through letters. Characters. In the novel, characters should be real, made of fresh flesh and blood. They should behave, talk, think, and feel in such a way that they could win sympathy, love, or hatred from the reader. Their dress and bearing, the looks and gestures, appearance, and manners should be portrayed so vigorously that they could capture the attention of the reader and exist in his memory for a long period. To create a lifelike character, it is not essential to describe the details of his character, but the novelist should touch the vital and important parts which are suggestive and stimulating. In An Introduction to the Study of Literature, Hudson points out two methods of characterization. Number one, the direct or analytical. Number two, the indirect or dramatic. In the first case, the novelist delineates his characters from the outside, dissects his passions, motives, thoughts and feelings, explains, comments, and often pronounces authoritative judgment upon them. In the dramatic method, the novelist keeps himself detached and lets the characters lay bare their hearts through speech and action, and emphasizes their self-depiction by comments and remarks of the other characters. This method is supposed to be more natural and convincing in the modern criticism. There are two types of characters, number one, flat, and number two, round. The flat characters never grow or change or surprise unexpectedly by their activities. They lack complexity and move around a particular idea, creating often a laughter whenever they appear. The round characters change, become complex, and develop psychologically under the stress of circumstances in the course of their action. Dialogue. Dialogue lends vividness, force, actuality, brightness, and effectiveness to the novel, and in this way, the reader gets closer and closer to the characters and is immensely delighted. A good novelist always introduces dialogue timely and judiciously, contributing to the development of the plot and description of the characters. Dialogue reveals the passions, motives, and feelings of the characters. It should be analytical, easy, natural, appropriate, dramatic, fresh, interesting, and not very lengthy and unrelated. It should have an organic unity with the plot, keeping in view the suitable time, place, situation, and the personality of the characters. The novelist should allow them to converse. Dialogue should be polished and repolished without losing its real spirit, or it will be hopelessly be dull, bookish, and unconvincing. Therefore, the novelist's aim should not be to present accurate and actual talk of man and woman, but create an illusion of reality and naturalness. Setting. The setting in the novel means time and place of action. It contains the whole ethos of the story, the customs, ways of life, tone and temper of the particular age and place, the natural background or environment. The novelist must be endowed with the fertile imagination and the accuracy and power of his descriptions to portray picturesquely and faithfully the manners of the special classes, social groups, and places. It must not give a false impression of the life and spirit of the age, as it is seen in the historical novels of Sir Walter Scott. Sometimes the setting becomes an essential element in the human drama, such as Edgar Heat in Hardy's The Return of the Native. The philosophy of life. A great novelist is a thinker and keen observer of life. He interprets it by portraying the real men and women with their sufferings and joys, thoughts and feelings, successes and failures, passions and motives. All these naturally give an ethical, philosophical, and moral bias to his novels. Though his aim is not to be philosophical, nor he deliberately makes an attempt to expound a set body of ethical doctrine, he is guided by the impression he forms out of life. Thus, he is constrained to formulate his own views towards life. The philosophy of life is given in the novel in two ways. First, an interpretation of life by representation. Secondly, the direct personal commentary and explanation of the novelist. The philosophy of life is also tested from two points of view, that of its truth and that of its morality. Truth means the ideal probability which exists in the motives and impulses, passions and principles of man and woman. This is the supreme element of essential truth that changes so little in the course of time. All great art is connected with morality. Since a novelist deals with life, he must deal with the moral facts and issues everywhere involved in life. He cannot disregard his responsibilities to life. But it is to be noted that the novelist must not turn into a preacher or propagandist. The ethics or moral should be wrought into the texture of the story. Classification of the novel. The subject matter of the novel eludes classification, for it is the whole all of literature. No other literary form has perhaps proved so pliable that it could accommodate an apparently endless variety of topics and themes and forms. Thus, we are confronted with a wider range of categories of the novel. For example, we have the epistolary novel, the sentimental novel, the gothic novel, and the historical novel. We have the propaganda, regional, sociological, psychological, pluritarian, documentary, and time novel. We have the novel of the soil and the saga novel, the picturesque novel, stream of consciousness novel, detective novel, and the novel of adventures. The term novel is derived from the Italian novella, meaning tale or piece of news. With the novel, several other terms are generally associated as novelette, novella, novelle, romance, and fiction. The novelette is a trivial or sensational novel or romance. The novella is a fictional tale in prose, intermediate in length and complexity between a short story and novel. It usually concentrates on a single event or chain of events with a surprising turning point. The novel is the German term for a fictional novel, tale, that has the characteristics of the novella. A fictional story in verse or prose that relates improbable adventures of idealized characters in some remote or enchanted setting. It is opposite to realism in fiction. The term fiction is identified with the novel, and both are treated with the same meaning. It is absolutely wrong because the fiction is a broad and general term for novels, short stories, novella, romance, fables, and other narrative works in prose, even though most plays and narrative poems like Spenser, Fairy Queen are also fictional. This chapter is now over. Thank you.